reading to you from the 28th chapter of Proverbs, and with the 18th verse. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 48 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington, and then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been trying to share Christ ever since. Had a pretty good time up at Bryce the other day, me and Pastor Baker. We got to visit a lot of people, but they were all in wheelchairs and oxygen. But we had a good time. Hey, listen, I know I was in oxygen for 2 years. It's not very good to be in it, but boy, it's a lot worse if you don't have it. Well, listen, I'm going to be with you for 29 minutes. Just sit back, relax, pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Well, friends, my topic tonight is a Christian's most important appointment. I read in 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Every one of us through life has had to make and keep appointments, doctors, dentists, etc. Sometimes earthly appointments are canceled. But, dear Christian friends, we will all keep this appointment, thus saith the Lord. This is more important than any other appointment we are to make. This is an appointment that cannot be rescheduled. This appointment is the judgment seat of Christ. Friends, every Christian must stand before the one who saved us. This appointment is for believers only. Lost people not be judged until later. And I read in Revelation 20 and verse 5, "But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection." Now, not one Christian shall be excused. It says we must. And that means exactly what it says. Not one Christian will be left out of all who shall appear. Oh, listen. Think of who we'll be meeting. Well, the one that came down from heaven to save us. The one who endured the cross for us and the one who rose for us. The one who takes away our sins, the one who has heard our prayers, we must stand before the one who knows all about us. You know, friends, we can fool each other and we can tell people how spiritual we are, but everything that we've done will be told. Standing before the one who knows his sheep, and you know he knows you and I by name. In John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they will follow me." Friends, listen, you know, I've heard this story. I've never been over in the Holy Land, but the stories that I've heard from people who have been there said that they used to take sheep and they'd put them in a corral. All kinds of sheep, all say 4 or 5 herders. They'd put them in there in the morning. They'd open the gate, and that herder would call his sheep out. And every one of the sheep for this herder, who he was the herder, would come out and form their, whatever they formed, and they would go on their way. Well, Jesus calls us sheep. That's a nice thing. You know, friends, there's nothing any more beautiful than a little lamb. Nothing more innocent. You know, my dad used to raise thousands of sheep, and we used to pasture sheep for Art Bohosky in the Dalles, Oregon. And I'll tell you something, those sheep herders can cook. I remember one time, I was about 8 or 9 years old, and we had this big herd of sheep, and the sheep herder lived in a tent. And one morning he said, "Say, young man, would you like to have some good sheep herder pancakes?" "Oh my, yes, I sure would." He goes over and he opens this sack of flour, pounds a little hole in it, pours in canned milk, and he takes a big shot of whiskey and puts down in there and mix them up and cook them. Oh my stars, they were good. You see what the whiskey did. It, all the alcohol boils out, but it raises them up. Oh, I went home and told my mama, "Boy, did I catch sand for that. Don't you ever go up there and eat and drink whiskey." I said, "Mama, I didn't drink any whiskey. I said it was in the pancake. You don't use that." You see, and then that is strange how I was raised against drinking and booze and all that, and I ended up an alcoholic. Wasn't my parents' fault. It wasn't God's fault. It was Cecil's fault. Precious friends, nothing will be hid from the Lord. He knows the Christians who have been stealing from him. There's no way to bluff our way through this meeting. Sometimes Jesus knows all about us. What occupies our mind. What we read at home or at work. How we spend or give our money, the degree of our dedications, and I tell you something else, friends, he knows the secret desires of our hearts. What adjustment do you think you ought to make before that meeting? What changes in priority and what changes in the goals that we set? We must stand before the one who commissioned us to serve. Beloved, listen to me. Every Christian has been commissioned to serve. You say, "Cecil, I do not have a talent." Oh, that's not true. God has given every born-again believer at least one talent. Well, are you using the one you got? I tell you something, I know a lot of Christians who have a lot more talents than Cecil Moe has. But I'm trying to work on them. I'm developing more talent if I can. Why? Friends, I owe the Lord everything, and I can't repay him one nit. Not one nickel can I repay the Lord for what he did for me or what he's done for you. If you're born again, he paid with his life. Oh, I quote John 3:16 a lot, but it's so true. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Again, here we see God always on the giving end. And you know something else? We are to be ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you, but we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You know, at one time we were enemies of God. If you're an unbeliever tonight, you're an enemy of God. If you're an atheist tonight, listen, my friend, don't be an atheist too long. You know, the Bible says that eternity in heaven is time without end. But beloved, eternity in hell is time without end. Oh, I wouldn't want my worst enemy to go to that terrible place. We are to be witnesses for Christ, and there's where a lot of Christians let down the bar. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the world. I know Christians that never, never, never talk to anybody about Christ. Oh, friends, how can you do that? How can the love of God rest in your heart and then you not want to share him? Every time I see some great movie star, great athlete, or someone who dies in the world is talking about how wonderful they were with giving people, I wonder if they gave Jesus their heart, because if they didn't, they won't be there in heaven. Bible says we're to be his light in a dark world, Philippians 2:15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You know, one time my wife and I got lost, and we could have sure got killed. We were up on above a cliff, above in the ocean. And the trees or bushes were so thick, we had to walk on top of them. Most of the while we'd fall through to the ground. And I remember I had a lighter, a little cigarette lighter. And I said, Gene, if we don't find a trail, we could sure enough be killed. I lit that lighter and twice, and I saw this little trail. My wife and I got on it, and it didn't light anymore. Boy, was I thankful for that light. Because if it wasn't for that light, we may not have got there. And if it wasn't for the light of Jesus, the light of the world, he said, I am the light of the world. The world is in darkness. One doesn't have to be overly intelligent, but if you can watch the news on TV or read the paper, you'll see the world is in a whole heap of hurt. Fighting on every corner. Killings. Bombings. And you say it's going to get better? Don't think it's going to happen. You know the Palestinians and Jerusalem are never going to get their act together. But you know, there are rewards to be given at this appointment. I read in Revelation 22:12. And behold, I come quickly, and my rewards is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Number one, he's going to give the crown of life for soul winning. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our hope or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Friends, there is nothing in all this world to compare to the joy that people who go out and reach souls for Christ, there's nothing like it. Oh, friends, I tell you, when we go to prison, we see these men and women who've been saved services before, and they come up and tell you how happy they are and what a joy their life has been. That makes it worth it all. The crown of righteousness for loving his appearing. And I read in 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them who love his appearance. Friends, you know he's coming back. You say, oh, Cecil, we've been hearing that. Paul said that way, way, way back. He's not coming back. Oh, he is. Oh, friends, and he's going to come as a thief of the night. When you expect him not, Jesus shall appear in a cloud. The trump of the archangels shall sound, and you will see Jesus standing on a cloud saying, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and those of us who have been born again shall be caught up to be with him forevermore. Not the Baptist, not the Catholic, not the Muslims, not the Pentecostal, but those who have been born again. You say, well, Cecil, I belong to a church. That'd mean a thing. If you don't know Jesus, you're not going to get there. the crown of life for suffering. And I read, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Reverend Tom Baird, the man that introduced me to Christ, had a bad heart. He had leukemia. He had asthma. He had both legs cut off because of his sugar diabetes. I never saw a man suffer so much, but love God as much as Tom Baird did. Everybody that ever knew Tom Baird was going to get witness to. I remember the night they cut his leg off in the daytime. I flew down to Virginia. I went to the hospital. It was about 8 o'clock in the morning, and I saw this preacher friend of mine coming up the hall, and I heard this voice say, "You mean to tell me you're a professor in college and you do not believe in Jesus?" I said, "That's Tom Baird. Here his leg had been cut off the day before, had his little old stub propped up on a pillow, and he was telling this professor about Jesus." That's the kind of people the Lord's looking for. There's not too many of them around nowadays. The crown of life for feeding God's people. 1 Peter 5:4. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." That's for those pastors that's labored. And I tell you right now, friends, if you think I would want to be a pastor, you're wrong. I couldn't have made it. I did pastor, but boy, I wasn't a pastor. I'm an evangelist. And you say, "Well, they're the same thing." Oh, no, they're not. That's where the world's all messed up. They think a pastor and an evangelist are the same people. It's a different calling. It's, you know what? I'll always say pastors have a lot more work to do than evangelists. You'll always hear me say that. No, if you feed your flock and you're faithful, oh, my friends, you should someday receive a crown for it. Rewards given, affected by him, are how we have lived. What we have done in the body, whether it be good or bad. The judgment seat of Christ follows the rapture of the church. You know, friends, the signs of the Lord's return are multiplying daily. Our most important appointment is given and is getting closer every day. Friends, do you know Jesus? Are you ready when Jesus will rapture his church? Christians, we'll have to stand before him and give an account for our lives. Are you ready? If not, I suggest you repent of your sins and prepare to meet thy God. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Dear friend, listen to me. Right tonight, Jesus is standing with outstretched arms. And he's saying, "Child, come to me. I know your life has been in trouble. I know you've been in and out of prison. I know you've been a drug addict. I know you've been an alcoholic. I know you've been a lesbian. I know you've been a homosexual. But I'm here to forgive you if you will repent. Turn your back on the old life and ask me to come in." If you'd like to do that tonight and you feel the Spirit of God tugging at your heart, bow your head to me right now and pray this most powerful prayer. "Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I'm repenting. I'm turning my back on the old way of life, and I'm opening my heart to receive you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." If you prayed that prayer, you get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. That's 303-471-8534. I won't embarrass you. I won't even use your name on the air. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. All I'm concerned about is where you spend eternity. I don't care where you go to church. Are you ready, dear friend, to make a new start in life? Jesus is that new start. I'm waiting for your call. 303-471-8534. My singer, Joanne Burns. Well, listen, friends, I'd like to give a mailing address. It's 9621 South Burberry Lane, Highlands Ranch, Colorado 80129. Friends, we'd love to have you join with us and help us financially with our prison ministries. And be sure and pray for the 26th. That's next Sunday. We'll have two services at the Jefferson County Prison. And then November 30th, we have two services there. And they've changed the date on us. We'll be at Lyman Prison December the 5th for our Christmas program. Friends, listen, I don't want to appear to be a beggar, because I'm not. But if you believe in what we're doing and the precious souls that God has been saving, you'd stand with us. I really wish you would. At least make it a better prayer. And again, I've said so many times, many of you precious friends don't have the money, and I understand that, and I wouldn't ask you to give. But boy, I would ask you to pray. Oh, friends, I know that you can pray. Dear Lord, tonight I thank you for your presence. I thank you, Lord, for being with us. Thank you for giving us our health so we can be on the broadcast and so that we can go to these prisons Sunday after Sunday and talk about Jesus and see the wonderful men and women come to Christ. Lord, we have a country that's in real trouble. And I pray, Lord, that you'll be with the president, be with all of his leaders. And I pray, Lord, that somehow, some way, they'll catch Hossein and Bin Laden before it's too late. I pray for our dear servicemen and women overseas and here in America. God love them. God protect them. Father, raise up allies around the world to stand with our great country. Oh, God, we have the best country in the world, but there's a lot of problems, and you know all about it. And, Lord, you know all of our needs, and you said you would supply them through Christ Jesus the Lord. And you've done that all over the 48 years that I have been serving you. Thank you again, Lord, for your love and for your concern. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, for the past 29 minutes, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe, and I do want to thank you for listening. Oh, friends, if you're not ready for that day, if you're not ready to prepare to meet God, I beg of you, I plead with you, consider what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. He didn't die just for old drunks. He died for the sins of the world, and he was the only one that could pay for our sins. God loved him, and God was good enough to send him, his only begotten Son, to the earth to check us out and see what our needs was. And our needs was to have our sins paid for. Well, listen, friends, be sure and pray for these dates. The 26th of October, the two services. November 30th, two services. And December the 5th at Lyman Prison for Christmas. Until it's time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. Oh, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.